Warning, the following content may contain elements that are not suitable for some audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hello, kiddies. This is y'all's ghoulie, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to Slasher Radio.
Welcome to Slash Radio. It's your boy Bones with Bobby Spitz. Man, what the fuck is going on over
there? Yeah, I'm thinking about how I could itch my nuts like a dog.
The sad part is he's not lying.
Yeah. Go to town. Dude, man, what are you doing over there?
I'm chilling. I have a cup of Hennessy. So I'm off the Patron tonight. I'm actually out of Patron, if we're going to be honest. I don't know how that happened.
Which one do you like better?
I've gone through phases in my life with liquor. You know how I love my vodka.
Right.
I was through and through with vodka. That was all I would drink. But as I got a little older, I really liked Hennessy. The cognac is perfect. I love Hennessy. But the last, about a year, I've been going on that Patron hard, man. That's my go-to right now is Patron.
So it's back to the clear liquor.
Yep. I went clear, dark, clear.
Liquor kind of gives you like the vitality of the clear liquor more than the dark liquor, or?
I don't know exactly. Patron gets the job done. And like Hennessy does too. I think Patron hurts a little less. Might be it. I don't know. Like, it hurts a little less going down. Don't get me wrong, though. Tequila, as its own entity, can be a hell of a cunt. But Patron, like, it's the right kind of tequila. It ain't that bad.
It goes down smooth.
Yeah.
Patron ain't bad. Have you ever tried 1800?
I don't believe I... No, I haven't. That's a pretty good one, too, though, I've heard, isn't it?
It's a little strong, but it I've never really been into tequila like that. I can't.
Me either.
Tequila is hard, but Patron would probably be. They have a Patron coffee that's really good.
I have that in my fridge.
Yeah.
It's all right.
It's sticky.
Yeah. It's not like I can't sit and drink. You know, maybe if I watered it. Ooh. What if I put regular Patron in that Patron to water it down and, like, double the Patron?
You're going to wake up butt naked.
That's the problem.
You wake up butt ass naked. Some butt naked ass stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would always figure, like, make a, take that Starbucks shit, Frappuccino or whatever, freeze it, and then put a shot or two in there. See how that might taste good. I don't know, but... I know it's really fucking sticky, and then once you start making drinks with it, it just leaves a mess everywhere. You can't help it. As soon as you pop that little fucking sticker on the cork, man, you pour it, and it's fucking sticky everywhere. It's like a...
That's how you get a mudslide. Remember that one night we were drinking mudslide? Oh, yeah. That was the Kookaroo night.
Fucking 12 Kookaroos. We had too many Kookaroos then. It was too many.
Calling people at... What time? Who the hell knows what time? 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, screaming at them.
It was going well into 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. Well,
yeah. Screaming at them, they ain't got no kookaroos.
No fucking kookaroos. They didn't even know what the fucking kookaroo. We barely knew what a kookaroo was. We was just fresh off figuring it out. We just know that they didn't have any, and that's what matters. They didn't have no fucking kookaroo. Yeah,
to be fair, we didn't have any either, but. They didn't.
They didn't have none. At least we knew someone who did.
Yeah, right. You ain't got no cooker. Yeah, but Diddy does. The fuck's Diddy that got does. To do with you? You ain't got none.
You ain't got no cookers, motherfucker.
We're not wrong in what we're saying. You don't have any cookers.
It's not our fault you ain't got one. Better go get a fucking cooker.
Oh, fuck. Speaking of kookaroos, Mick, last week we talked Leprechaun in Space.
We did.
Ah, We really caught a lot of shit over that.
There are no kookaroos in space. I don't know if there's any kookaroos in space. If we ever got a kookaroo, we put that in space, and at least, even if we had one kookaroo, it would be in space.
To be fair, if we had a KFC in space, we'd be looking real good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know why people give us some bad shit over that. They find things to bitch about, man. They're all mad about it.
I know. You know, I still stand by the Leprechaun as a franchise, as a whole, even though it got more and more campy as it went along. You know what, man? It's still at the end. It's still better than a lot of the bullshit out there.
Yeah, I feel like they did a pretty good job with that one, too, though, man.
They didn't, yeah, for what they were trying to achieve. I'm going to stand by that one, man. Like, it's really not a terrible movie. It's not. So, I don't know. People need to leave us alone with our Leprechaun.
This week, hopefully, we got a little something. Me, I'm not going to mention Rob Zombie. I'm not going to do it.
Really?
Nope. Not going to do it.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
What kind of medication have you taken to suppress you bringing up Rob Zombie on a Halloween episode, nonetheless?
There's a lot of masturbation involved, and I think I got it all out of my system, and I'm not going to do it.
Oh, I want you to know, speaking of Rob Zombie, before we ban him from this episode, apparently, I want you to know, we've talked about it before on the show with Ghost and Rob. They've been on This Horror Life. Rob and Ghost have their own little show going on. I want you to know, I think they have like episode 2 out by now, but I listened to the first episode of their show. He shit on Rob Zombie.
I am not going to talk about Rob Zombie this time. I'm going to remain nice.
Okay.
Don't be nice. But that doesn't mean I can't say shit about Rob Humphrey. That bastard.
Two completely different Rob.
How dare you? You should not speak it that way of the zombie man. But to be fair, it is a very controversial topic. And as I recall, he stated that if he ever had his own show, he would not discuss him. He already broke his rule.
Ooh, that's
true. You can't have a horror podcast and not discuss him.
This is very true. This is very true.
It's impossible.
It is. Yeah, that dirty bastard.
But those who are not informed of This Horror Life podcast, it is out there for you to go listen to. So go check it out. Give Rob and Ghost all your input and shit like you give us. Don't hold back. Matter of fact, give them even worse shit.
We have to unleash IR Chris on them is what we need to do.
Yeah, you guys need a demonic taint.
They really do. We gotta get demonic tainted on there somewhere. I still owe Rob a bleep. We had to bleep him on this show once, Mike, when he was on. And I told him at the time he was planning on starting up a show, I told him, once you do, I'm going to go on there and I'm going to say something so horrific, you're going to have to bleep it. I owe him a bleep.
You got to bleep him out. And it should be a long, dragged out bleep. So when he bleeps it, it goes bleep for like 5 seconds or something.
That's true. That's true. So, Mike, you know what? I love our show. We really are the best. How the fuck did we go from doing Leprechaun in Space to Halloween 2?
It'd be like that.
How does that happen, though? We have the most diverse show. Like, honestly, that doesn't happen anywhere else.
What did we follow up on Rubber with?
You know what? I'm going to look. Hold on. I'm going to look. Because that is a good question. We better have come hard. Let me check real quick. Anchor.fm, because that's where all of our shows are based off of. I'm just going to control find Rubber, something I never thought I'd do. Oh, wow. After that, we had Damien Maffei on to talk about Haunt. Wow. So, yeah.
Oh, wow, too. That is diversity. And before right, Rubber, what did we have?
I was just going to say, right before it, we did it was the Blair Witch remake. But before that, we did Scream 3.
Damn. But all of that is really fucking, I mean, Scream 3, and then we get the Blair Witch remake, and that rolls into Rubber, and then the interview with Maffei.
Listen to this lineup, because this really is all over the place. Episode 110, we had Greg Nicotero on, that was a Halloween episode. Then 111 is Jennifer's Body, okay, you know, around the same neighborhood. Then Nightmare on Elm Street, The Final Nightmare, Part 6 for 112. Then Tucker and Dale vs. Evil, House of a Thousand Corpses, Demons from 1985, Scream 3, Blair Witch Project, Remake, Rubber, and then an interview with Damien Maffei about one of the hottest movies out last year. How the fuck? What do we do?
I don't know. I mean, now we're continuing that. We're following up Leprechaun in Space with Halloween Duh.
Halloween Duh.
We shouldn't hear any shit about this one, at least.
No. No, we can't. It would... I can't even think. I was going to say maybe Camp Counselor Greg, like if there was anybody, but I don't even think he could shit on this.
No, he can't. He can't.
He shits on them all.
Yep. Maybe if it was... A lot of people don't like 3. A lot of people don't like that one.
Yeah. Which we do have to do one day, only because... I think there's a lot of conversation there of what they were trying to do, and you know,
that'd be a good Halloween.
What
episode? So that would be a good Halloween episode.
Ooh, yeah, it would. Which is coming up before we know it. Is it just me? Is this year gone by super fucking fast?
It's been the slowest, fastest year ever in the world.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense, but it feels like it's dragging by. But it's going by very quick. Because we are getting our asses beat. Like, when you're in a ring, and you got fucking 5 minutes, it's not that long of a time, but when you're getting your ass beat, it feels like an eternity.
Yeah.
We are getting our asses beat this year.
I know. Unmercifully.
It's happening so quick. I was thinking that the other day, man. I walked out, because I was outside early in the morning, and it was still... a little dark, and I was like, that's fucking weird. And then I thought to myself, damn, we're almost in July.
How'd it happen?
2 more months, we'll be in the fall, dude.
I feel like, I don't know, like, when did all this COVID shit start? Like, March, right?
Mm-hmm.
April-ish, March-ish, yeah. Something like that?
I still feel like last year never ended. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm still back in when this started. Like, I don't know what it is, like, that's kind of when it froze, which really, between the end of last year, that's really not that big of a distance. But yeah, I get that feeling. Yeah.
I feel like, damn, man. And now it's going into September soon. And it's like, it feels like it's the same, like nothing, like, and we're still in that, like, in back in last year. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's like last year didn't stop or something.
I know.
And September coming.
Oh my God. It's so crazy.
This whole fucking year was fucked.
It does feel like we just kind of jump back a few months and we're, you know, in last year. That does make a lot of sense. But anyway, we're back this week. We mentioned we're doing Halloween 2, 1981. Let's get the shout-outs and the news out of the way, because this is a really fucking good one. Go to 12nightshorror.com, promotehorror.com, horrormoviestuff.com. They supported us. They are indie horror, which is, you know, like we always say all the time, you got Bloody Disgusting and all this other websites. You know, indie horror is very important because that's where, shit, man, that's where fucking Bloody Disgusting and Dread Central and all of them started out as indie horror, and fucking Halloween started out as some shitty little horror movie, and look at it now. So go check all of them out. And Mink, are you ready to get into the news?
Bam! Let's hit it.
It's time
for Spitball in the News with Bobby Spitzer. God damn. Oh, I got some quick news, mate. Your boy, Shoemaker, dude. He passed away. Did you hear about it?
Ghost sent that to me. I seen him trending and I couldn't remember the name. I was like, I the name was familiar. I'm like, huh, okay. And yeah, Ghost, we were just talking about him.
Dude, anything we talk about, dude.
Something happened.
Something fucking happens.
I said it. We're magical. Ron Jeremy.
Ron fucking Jeremy was another one.
The Creeper? But wait a minute. Okay, one more time. What was he telling the Creeper? How did he...
Oh, you piece of shit. You fucking weird people with your... What's wrong with you, you creep?
You said he was like an old Italian mobster or something. He used his dick like a bat.
Oh, they use his dick with like a bat. You piece of shit, you. You piece of shit. Boy, are you oughta... Yeah, we were just talking about him. And fucking Schulmaker man.
Yep. We gotta stop mentioning people.
I know, man, I know.
God.
It is true. That's why I'm scared to even fucking mention Michael Keaton in all of this.
Oh, shit.
I don't even want it.
Well, now that we're in the news, Michael Keaton might be coming up shortly.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
First off, oh, you can go check out all these articles they were about to mention at slashradio.com. The first article up for the news this week is written by William Scrumpet. AMC announces panels for San Diego Comic-Con. This is scheduled for July 23rd through July 26th, but I from what I've seen, I don't know if it's still like this, but I did see that AMC was nice enough to send us over a press release, and I believe this is like a stay-at-home Comic-Con, mate.
What? How is that even possible?
I don't know, but I think it's cool, though, that they're still doing something, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's great that they're still trying to make it available for people. This is a hard concept to try to understand because the whole thing about Comic-Con is being, you know, in the environment, walking around. I know a lot of people that they take that time, like, that's their Halloween, man. Like, they get ready for that shit, so... I'm just interested in how they would
prepare costumes,
carry that out, right? Plus, you know, a big part of it too is you get to meet a lot of people that you're a fan of. Like, you can go there and fucking run into Jason Mewes, or
right.
You can go in there and meet a lot of people, a lot of creators who are behind the scenes and things like that. So I'm interested how they're going to turn that out, how that's going to work out. San Diego?
See, I don't know. I'm trying to look through it now. Yeah. AMC announced today virtual panels for several series. Hold on, I gotta make this bigger. I'm getting old. For several series at this year's Comic-Con at home, including The Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, Walking Dead World Beyond, and Nosferatu, which is the television show. We have more about that on our site, too. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is pretty neat. So I wonder if they're just going to have, like, where you can just go into, like, a Zoom channel with whoever, you know, is hosting that panel. That's going to be pretty cool.
I don't know. I would imagine they would, because they sell... I mean, let's face it. These places need to make their money, too. Like, that's part of the show having to go on. Yeah, it's entertainment for us, but it's also business for them. And they make money with these VIP passes and all this. I mean, hey, that's a hell of a VIP pass. That's if we could sit on with, like, fucking Andrew Lincoln from Walking Dead... I'm down.
Yeah. And then the San Diego one is like the big one. Like, I know they have a few in other parts of the country, but the San Diego one is like the mecca.
Yeah.
So they're going to be bringing some serious fucking people for their panels. I don't know what kind of lineup they got going on or plan, but I know usually everybody in their mud is at that San Diego con.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. This was, I mean, AMC alone. Like, that's big potatoes.
Yeah. I know Kevin Smith is doing some weird shit on his own on his website. Like, you can buy certain, like, passes with him, and then you get certain perks based on the package that you get. It's really amazing how, like, this day and age, you can really be connected to these people more than ever, you know?
Yeah, even though it's not, like, a personal... And you know what? Probably not for nothing. I would imagine if they do offer, we don't know if they will, but if they did do the Zoom thing, I would imagine it's a little more personal. Like, if you meet them in person, obviously it's more personal, like, literally, but, you know, they're doing so much throughout the day. They're humans. They gotta be tired, exhausted, a little run down from the day, and who knows how many days they've had to go in a row and all that shit. Like that, at least they're at home, they're comfortable. You know, you get a little more time with them. It's not so much. They can enjoy the interaction as much as the fan does. From that, I would imagine more so that way.
Yeah. Yeah, the show must go on.
Right? All right, so next up, this article is written by Nick Venom. A cookbook based on the Alien franchise. Oh, yeah, it releases this year. It releases November 10th, 2020 with 50 recipes, all based on creatures from the Alien franchise. Dude, what the fuck?
Damn.
I don't know. See, me personally, that's cool as fuck. I can't eat stuff that looks gross.
They're making food and the after, like, it looks like a xenomorph?
I don't know. I don't know for sure, but it sounds like it.
Yeah, it's a little, that would, I don't know, man. That would be a cool experience.
Imagine you can make a little fucking alien pot pie or some shit.
It would be a little disturbing, though.
Yeah, like, it'd be cool to look at, but I can't eat shit like that.
Mate, you know they put, alright, so there's places where they stroll out sushi on the bodies of these naked women.
Yes, I've seen that.
Like, they put lily pads and stuff. And I always thought to myself, I was like, I don't care how beautiful the woman is or whatever, you know, I can't eat off of this bitch's titty. I'm not going to do it. Like, I'm not, because one, I've never had no personal time with this person. I don't know who they are. You know what I mean? For all I know, they just told people that they were clean and good and got on the table. And second of all, just sitting there eating like imagine you got your chopsticks and you just take a fucking tuna roll off of her tuna and then you eat it and she's like just laying there on the table awkwardly with her fucking feet up and shit. Like, that's, I'm like, that's an insane eating experience, man.
I cannot act like they're not there.
Yeah, exactly. That, and you just, you don't know, man. You don't even, you should at least have like fucking 2 days to meet the person, talk with them, find out what's going on. It's just some random, that's no different than, I guess, getting a hooker. You go down to the fucking corner and you just, hey, bitch, get in the car. We're going to go fucking suck dick and eat ass all day. People are into that too. But to me, that's almost like the equivalent.
You're renting a naked person.
Yeah. You come lay on your fucking table and you're just eating off this random ass person.
Right.
People are kind of all weird shit, man. I don't know. But I'd have a whole lot more easier of a time eating a xenomorph. Thing that looks like whatever, at least I know what it's made of. I would ask that, like, what does it consist of? What did you make it out of? Pork chop?
I don't know, but I mean, it's cool for sure. I don't know if I could, but depending on what it looks like, how extreme they go, I don't know if I could do it.
Fucking sushi bitches and xenomorphs,
right?
What a weird combo.
But yeah, I mean, I'll look through it when it comes out, but I don't know.
So they're making cake? What are they making? What kind of food are they using?
I don't know. It looks like it's all kinds of stuff. It releases November 10th, 2020, for the grand total of $34.95. So, not bad.
Is that $34.95?
Yep. $34. Almost $3.50, kind of. Not really, but I just want to say $3.50. But it's $34.95. But next up is... Did we talk about this already? No, we couldn't have. Actually, we did. Okay, this was just, you know what? We're going to preemptively talk about this. I was looking at an older article. It's about the movie Becky with Kevin James that we've talked about a bunch of times on here. This article that I'm looking at now is written by Nick Venom, and it's about how, you know, the film received an R rating, and you know, there's a bunch of cool horror shit that's going to be going on in this. But Rob Humphrey did let me know that he's going to be putting up on our site, slasherradio.com, a review of the movie Becky. So you guys will be able to go check that out. I believe his stuff is usually spoiler free, so you can, you know, read it safely if you still haven't seen the movie yet. I haven't seen it yet, Mink, but I did ask him. I said, was it good, Rob? I can't wait to see how Kevin James does. He said, and this is, I know it's coming from Rob Humphrey, who likes rubber, but he said, it's pretty damn good. I don't know if I will ever be able to see Kevin James as that goofy, funny guy ever again.
Oh my God.
Right? Right?
Damn.
Yeah.
Kevin, what did you do? Who hurt you?
Right? Who'd you hurt?
Yeah, that's a better question. Who did you hurt?
Right?
Was it worth it for the Becky?
You know, we gotta have Kevin James on here. Well, how cool would it be to sit and talk to fucking Kevin?
Oh, it'd be fucking great. Give him a hard time about the Jets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
all kinds of shit. This would be a perfect podcast for him to come in and just let it hang.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I can't wait to see this movie. I am going to check this one out. But, yeah, Rob's going to be putting up a review on Becky. And I don't know, man. If he's being honest about that, I cannot wait. I can't wait. And he also, I do want to know, he said he recommends it, the film Becky. And then he goes, though, be careful. I meant to hit rent, and I clicked the wrong button, so I am now the proud owner of a digital copy of Becky. This is dumb bastard.
Nice.
Good thing he liked it.
Right? Hey, that was fate intervening.
Right.
And he's got a digital copy, too. Shit. He can take it with him wherever he goes.
I know. Yeah, that's true. He has it forever. It's a lot bigger of a commitment than we realize.
Yep, that's it. You can't get rid of it. You can't sell it either.
Yeah, no, right? It's his. That's it. There's nothing he could do. But, Mink, last up, and this article is written by Ira Chris. I did not check this for demonic taint. Fuck. Hold on.
Oh, my God. We're in danger.
Hold on. No, okay. There's no demonic or taint coming up, but I'm looking for, like, crossword puzzle type shit. Demonic taint is not coming across to me right
now. All right, so that's good.
We appear to be safe right now, but the article is titled Michael Keaton in Talks to Return as Bruce Wayne, mate.
God damn, there it is, boy.
Do you believe it?
I believe it. But is he going to suit up, though, is the question.
It's worded that way. Right. Right. I don't know. But how the fuck? Dude, that's some bullshit right there if you're going to do that. You can't do that with Batman. Are we really to that point in time, mate, where you can have Bruce Wayne and Batman, two different actors?
Only with Michael Keaton.
Yeah, maybe Christian Bale, man. I don't know, man. It's such a cop-out to me. Like, if you can't fight, are we really to the point in time? Because it sounds to me like Michael Keaton says, all right, I'll do it, but I ain't doing all the Batman shit. And they're like, all right, you know what? You ain't got to do all the Batman shit. And, like, yeah, that's not fair.
They found a way, and there's going to be a huge cash grab.
Mm-hmm.
You know everybody's going to go fucking see it for Michael Keaton. But I feel like that's what they had to do, fucking making Robert Pattinson their fucking Batman.
They should have waited. I would take a part-time Michael Keaton Batman over a full-time Robert Pattinson Batman all day long.
So then this must be for the Flashpoint.
Maybe.
This is the one that has to do with the Flashpoint, though.
Those who are not well-versed in DC comic history, the DC Universe has a long history of their stories taking place across multiple Earths. So, yeah, maybe that's what it sounds like.
This has to be with it. Because the only Batman shit I've been hearing lately was Pattinson's and this Flashpoint shit. And then this Michael Keaton stuff popped up. And I really don't know if it's going to be like its own thing or if it's going to be a part of the Flashpoint.
I don't know.
They're so stingy with information nowadays, but you know what's weird is like they'll have the movie out on the web and then still not want to talk about it. Like, just talk about the fucking movie and just let us know exactly what it is that we can expect. So that way, but I don't know, maybe they don't do that because certain people judge whether or not they want to go see the movie. The mystery right behind it puts asses in seats, I guess. But
that's true.
We'll see. That's interesting that he's back, though. What the fuck? What took him so long? You're going to wait now? He should have done the fucking thing until 96?
Like I said, dude, it seems like, and again, this is just me speculating, it seems like Michael Keaton said he was offered Batman, and he said, all right, I'll be Batman, but I don't want to do Batman shit. And they're like, all right, well, that's Bruce Wayne. He's like, all right, then I'll do Bruce Wayne. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Unless he's coming back full Batman. I don't know. He had a hell of a bat suit, though. That bat suit was badass. It was perfect.
I don't know what they got him playing. I think they're just going to sit him down in a bat cave.
Yeah.
How old is Michael Keaton now? Like 60?
Michael Keaton age. Oh, my God. 68.
Oh, 68.
He's more Jesus. Alfred at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Unless they do that, what's that reverse aging thing?
Oh, like they did with Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah, and Robert De Niro shit. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that is a little too old to be doing Batman. I understand that. But you know what? If there's a lot of Bruce Wayne in it, I could see it maybe getting pulled off. And, the mask would have to be different to maybe hide a little more. I don't know how the hell they do it, but
what the fuck they got playing, man?
Right.
Like, I know in Batman Beyond, they had Bruce, who was old, and he was Bruce Wayne, and he had the new guy that came in and did, you know, the Batman Beyond. And he kind of, you know how, like, Alfred's in the headset with Batman and shit, so, like, he kind of became the guy in the headset. And he was still configuring things from the ground out of the Batcave, so maybe he's going to do that. That would be some Bruce Wayne shit, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like also at this point in time, like, why bring him back? He should have been doing it until 1990, whenever they, you know, I don't understand why they let him go. Maybe he was the one that walked out. We don't know. We'll never know.
Right.
All we know is it's a big fucking deal.
You know, I always, when I talk to Grandmother Al, we talk a lot about Walking Dead and shit, and everybody knows Rick is gone, and Michonne's leaving, and, like, all these people are done with the show. Like, to us, we look at it as, oh, shit, playing Batman. Oh, damn, he's Rick Grimes. You know, like, that's badass. We'd do anything to do play those roles. To them, though, doing it every day for years, it's not as glamorous anymore, you know? Anything gets tiring.
Yeah, that's true. You know, he was in Jordan 1s when he did Batman Make?
Was he? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
The scene.
Those were just Jordan 1s. They put, like, the little long part on top.
Oh, my God. See, I knew I liked that damn Batman. Jordan 1s, come on.
He filmed the whole thing. He was wearing Jordans the whole time.
That,
Batman was in J's the whole fucking time.
Wearing some J's, whooping ass. Gotham City.
He was whooping ass in Jordan 1s, mate.
God, dude. All right, well, yeah, hopefully. We'll see what happens. I'm very interested in that because it's like so many ways to go. Like, what the fuck is going on?
I don't know. It's just a big, it's always a big controversial thing. I never met more controversy over anything than when it comes down to Batman.
It's a thing that changes so fucking much, I think, is the thing, too. Like, Superman had his dude for a while, and, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man, and Spider-Man's changed a couple times, but for the most part, Batman changes a lot. You know, I really wish Batman would have just stuck with one person for a long time. That'd be all. Like, Adam West. Adam West was the last real face of Batman. I mean, you could argue Christian Bale, sure, but Christian Bale and who else was the... I guess Michael Keaton was the... He played Batman the most as of recent.
Michael Keaton did two films with him. You know, Clooney did the same amount that he did.
Clooney did two?
Then you do... Oh, no, we talked about that. It wasn't him.
Right. Val Kilmer is the one I think. Right. Yeah, so... Yeah, they haven't had a face, a real face of Batman. Like, they hadn't had it for a while.
Mm-mm. And now we got fucking Robert Pattinson to deal with. And I seen, and I, like I said, I don't know if maybe it was because it wasn't edited and cut and all that. It was just him outside in normal fucking day. But that bat suit looked like fucking shit, dude. It was bad. That was bad, bad. Like, the ears were behind his head.
You look like a cat.
Yeah, he did. That shit was bad. Then he had the goggles. When did Batman start wearing goggles and shit? The Affleck version had goggles and shit, too.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck they're doing to Batman, but I don't like
it. Now he's got fucking goggles and shit, and he's fucking... He ain't wearing J's no more.
They need to go back to the J's.
Either that or Tim's. They need to do something with his ass. They got him walking around in fucking... They got him walking around in goddamn heels and shit now.
They got him in hooker boots.
Right? Poor motherfucker.
Anyway, so that's it for the news. Mink, we are doing Halloween 2, 1981. This is a big fucking movie.
And I'm not mentioning Rob Zombie at all. None.
You're not
Not one fucking bit.
Okay.
Nope. I'm not going to do it. You can't do it. I can't.
Okay.
Can't. I will resist.
Okay. Mink, is it blasphemous for me to say I might like Halloween 2 better than Halloween 1?
No, it's not, because I agree with that statement.
Yo, shit, goddamn, we did it.
I 100% agree.
What was it for you that, because I might go on the fence with it. I don't know. I'm on the fence with it because I think it's just the first one always just kind of has to get that oomph. And it's not really fair.
For me, it was the ending, how, you know, like, he went out swinging, literally.
Right.
So you got to see that side of him. Like I said, I'm not going to say anything about the Rob Zombie. It's Monday, and that's why I'm not going to do it, because as badly as I wanted to, I'm not going to.
Okay.
I'm not going to. But this is very, for Michael Myers reasons, is why I like this one.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, it was really good at the end. It did have like in the middle, like it started getting a little like, come on, you know.
Right.
But the first one, I feel like had more of those moments versus this one. They were able, you know, the story was a little bit more developed, kind of started getting somewhere as far as like the plot a lot faster.
Right.
You just wanted to see them fuck shit up, and they actually gave it to you a lot more in this one.
Yeah, I think I would put this over because kind of what you just said, the Michael Myers in this movie, Michael Myers has morphed throughout the franchise, like any killer. Although he hasn't changed much, especially aesthetically, like the look of Michael Myers really didn't change much. But if you look at like Resurrection and H2O, he's a lot more powerful. I don't know exactly how to describe it, but he's got a lot. He's a lot more powerful and in your face with things and brutal. And I like it. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But this was more of a stalker Michael Myers. And that's kind of that when he was nicknamed The Shape. And that had a lot to do with it because that's what he was. He was behind the scenes, going to sneak up on you, come out of nowhere, quick, bam, boom, gone, done. I missed this because my go-to Halloween movie is probably more towards, like, I like H2O and Resurrection and, you know, the later movies. Like, I kind of like those as a sit down and watch. But, dude, I miss this one. These, man. The Shape? I like The Shape. I like him a lot.
I think he was more brutal in this one than the others. You don't think so?
Well, I mean, as far as, I don't know how to explain it. It was more like he was more in your face. You know, like in the later movies, like he used his strength more, he used his power. He was still a sneaky son of a bitch. But this, he was like, I don't know, he was much swifter in the original, in the earlier movies. He was a little more, I don't know how he, like just that swag he had, like he was in and out a lot more. In the other ones, like he stuck around, he was really going to fuck your mother. In the later ones, like he shoved it in. That brutality was there, and the brutality was there. Like he was a mean son bitch in these two, but it was more in and out than in the later ones. You know what I mean?
I think he was a very brutal presence in this movie more than right. all the other earlier ones, because even though you didn't see him, that was the talk. Like he kept, you know, like the news that was spreading around the town of what he was doing.
Right.
You know, we didn't get to see it, but you can you heard, you know he's running around causing all this chaos. And even in one of the scenes, the therapist was like, you know, he's a fucking animal. Like, he can't be contained. Like, there's something wrong with him. I shot him like 9-something times or whatever he said, and he got back up.
Right.
And like, he was giving a very good description onto what Michael Myers is like, but the audience didn't really get to see him too much. But then once he did make that appearance and he started getting into the camera, like, he took full advantage of everything that he was doing. But that's what separates him from Jason, I think, is that he's got a lot more thought. Like, he set that fucking tub in the heat, and he was cooking him a little bit. He does shit. Like, he'll get shot, and he'll lay there, you know? So you can tell, like, he'll think, too. So I think what you're saying is, like, very methodical. In this one, and he was. So he was really planning his shit out and just more or less letting people fall into his trap. So once they did, Michael Myers, he doesn't show anybody no fucking mercy, man. Jason has that hesitant, you know, like he'll grab and he'll think about him. Sometimes he lets people go, man. Michael doesn't do that shit.
No.
There's no fucking, And when he got shot in the end, and that cop was over there, and the therapist was like, no, he's still alive. I was like, yep, he's still fucking alive. I'm like, look at him, man. He's laying on the floor and everything. Still holding his knife.
Mm-hmm.
He's waiting. It's so weird, though, man, because, like, the whole thing about it is, even with Jason, like, people can't figure out what they are. Is Jason a zombie? Is Michael Myers a demon? I don't have any explanation for Jason, but I can have a close one for Michael. I think what it is that he's just so evil, and I think in one of the movies they explained that it's just such an evilness. Like, when somebody is that dark-hearted, you know, something just takes over him. So maybe he's semi-possessed, and whatever possessed him, he conquered that too.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, what would you think that he is? Like, what is Michael Myers?
Dude, they put him in such a weird spot. Because if you really look at him as, you know, what he is, he's a dude, especially early on. But yeah, man, like, he gets shot this many times, and it's like, reality has to set in eventually. Like, he gets shot that many times, like, yeah, and all the other shit he's gone through, like, set on fire, like, all this other shit that's happened to the poor fucking guy. It's mind-blowing. It's like, how? But, dude, I don't know what the fuck he is. And you're right, we have that conversation about Jason a lot, and me and you have kind of, and I think maybe even a public consensus, I don't know, but later on in the Friday movies, you kind of have to come to the conclusion that he's some sort of a zombie. And we have that discussion a lot, but Michael Myers is left out of that question. And you're right, because yeah. Like, it's like, there's something there, and that evil, and they, a couple of the movies, you're right, the Dr. Loomis, evil, and all this shit. Yeah, like, that, they push that across, and he, I think, dude, I don't know, he's just, to me, what, in my perfect image of Michael Myers would just be this evil, black-hearted, relentless machine of a killer, and he's a man, but just, he's that hell-bent. Which is sadistic as fuck when you really think about it. Like, the things he's gone through to survive, he can't be human.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I think, like, it has to be somewhat of a, like, a demonic possession. But whatever it was that took over him, he conquered it.
Yeah.
Like, he's that evil. Like, somebody who's that evil, you know, it's like the devil on the earth just walking around. And for him to be able to think, like, the choices that he does, set things up how he does,
right,
and to take his time. Like, when Lori got out the fucking cab, and she was crawling and screaming for help, and they didn't hear her,
mm-hmm.
so she had to get up and run to the door,
right.
And he comes out the fucking darkness.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hurry in his step. He's on his way, because he knows nothing's going to stop him.
Right.
And I, you know, that's what's so great about these early Halloween movies, too, is that it sets that, you know, a lot of the anxiety doesn't come, you know, you don't have to necessarily, it's little things like that, like her trying to get into the door, you know, it's like, oh, fuck, is she going to make it? Oh, my God, man, oh, my, he's just fucking walking, ain't he? He's just taking his little time.
Yep.
And they were able to do that, you know, to build that anxiety up. And then, you know, she gets in, that's not going to be enough. What are you doing? He's here. He has arrived, and you have to deal with him.
Yeah.
And he's ready to fuck mudder.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's the ultimate motherfucker.
But I think it's like a demonic possession. I guess I don't know. There's something in him, man.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I haven't seen that new one yet, but I remember that scene that he's standing there in the yard, and they're trying to talk to him, and shit like that. Like, they make him very real,
mm-hmm.
as a human.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why it's so confusing, because it's like they make him a man. Like, they go out of their way. And then it's like, well, shit like that happens. It's like, well, fuck, what? Are you sure?
Yeah.
And they, even in the new one, they aged him the little bit you got to see of him. You know, like he
they was, showed his face in it?
They didn't really show his face, but like when he was getting his mask out of that bathroom stall, like, you seen a little, you know, but like from the hair and the facial, like, he was noticeably aged. Which, you know, he didn't look like an old man or nothing, but he wasn't, you know,
right.
He wasn't as young as, but they, I think they said his age in this movie. Yeah, they did. Didn't they say he was like 21?
Something like that. Yeah, he was young.
Right. So, you know, it's.
And he had already killed, you know, the other sibling.
Right.
You know, but I know whatever is fucking with him,
mm-hmm.
Lori has it in her too. She just doesn't tap into that. Like, she can be an evil. Did you catch that?
I did not pick up on that. Very good point.
If you ever noticed, like, she has whatever it is that he's got, like, she, there's a little bit of it in her.
That's a very good point. I never thought of that. Damn.
They're connected. There's something going on.
Imagine a spinoff of Laurie Strode going absolutely fucking apeshit.
Yeah, if she snapped, dude, she can probably tap into whatever the fuck is, you know. And that's why she's like, whenever he's around, you notice like her shit will start going off, like her senses, she starts acting different. Nobody else knows what's going on, but there's just like a change in her.
Yeah, well,
she starts behaving differently.
She got up out of that hospital bed.
Yeah.
Even she knew.
She don't fucking play, man. Like, if you're in her way, too, like, she'll tap into it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I never really noticed. It never dawned on me. That's true.
And then whenever they're at their odds, like, whenever they're together and it's, like, going down, you can tell, like,
She ain't scared.
She's tapping, yeah. Exactly. And he's a little hesitant. The only person that he's like that around is with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shit. I never even thought of that. That is an awesome point. Yeah, that would be, I don't know why they didn't make another fucking $1 million idea. Jamie Lee Curtis just fucking finally losing it?
Snapping off.
Oh my God.
When I was watching this one, I kept thinking about H2O.
Mm, I liked H2O.
H2O was a really good one, and it showed you like what she's really capable of.
Mm-hmm.
If Lori really wanted to, she could fuck a lot of shit up, man. And she kind of really tapped into it a lot in that one.
Yeah, and Dr. Loomis, you know, he was another one who, he didn't quite have that killer instinct that Lori could possess. But, yeah, he was killed off early on. And that's another thing, too, that's weird. Speaking to Dr. Loomis, they're saying that in this, I don't know if it was the upcoming Halloween movie or the one Halloween Ends after that, but they're saying Dr. Loomis is going to be in it. And I don't know how, like, what they're going to do, if they're going to use flashbacks or get a new actor, man. Like, I don't know what they're going to do, but, dude, that would be kind of fucking crazy, too, if they actually got him in there somehow, digitally.
Yeah. He's a really integral part to the Michael Myers story. Like, you have, you know, Lori, and she brings a lot to it because, you know, obviously that's what motivating him right now.
Yeah.
Dr. Loomis knows his psychology, and he knows how to kind of get in his way a little bit.
Right.
And it sucks that they killed him off so quickly, like the way they did. He's a really good character to have.
I agree. I always said that.
There's other ways to you know, shoehorn in another person, but you're not going to get that person who's been with Michael from way back in the beginning. Like, that's right. He knows since he was a kid, right?
Yeah.
So he knows everything about the sucker.
Yep. I've always said that character left way too early. What else? You kind of mentioned it towards the end where he's on the ground, then he rolls over and slits the dude's throat.
Yeah.
Dude, oh my God.
There is no way when he only shot him twice, I was like, come on, he ain't dead.
Right. Yeah. And they reminded you right away too that I love when Hatchet did this, which was really good. And I love when movies just pick right up off where the previous one left off. That's genius. I like that a lot because the original came out in 78, so 79, 80, and then 81. So you're talking 3 years of a distance between movies. Hey, it's not a bad idea to remind people. So it's like you're really just getting one really long movie.
It is good continuity.
Right.
And that's what Dr. Loomis brought in a lot of, man. Like, he was a really good tie-in to all that stuff. And I just wish that him and Lori got more of a chance to kind of work together on it.
Yeah.
Instead of just leaving Lori on her own, because now she's really the only one that has a big history with him.
Right.
And that's it. They just left it there. But yeah, when he fell on the ground, I was laughing my ass off over there because, well, I think the dude's name is Dick that played Michael too, by the way. Yeah, that's fucking funny. His name is Dick. Dude, he went down holding that knife, man.
Dude, that's Michael Myers.
The way Michael Myers does, yeah. He went down fucking with that knife down, the way he held it, and he was fucking laughing. I thought that shit was funny as hell. Balls, man.
Kudos to him and Nick Castle, who played the original Michael Myers. Like, him and Dick Warlock. What a name. But, yeah, they set the foundation for Michael Myers' mannerisms and stuff. Like, shit like that is present throughout all the Michael Myers movies, every single one of them. So, you know, good for them for laying that down so perfectly, too. Like, if it was shit, it wouldn't be drawn to in all these other ones. Yeah. So it's like, that's really the kind, even if, I know you said you're not going to bring it up, but even in the Rob Zombie movie, Like, you can go from Halloween 1 in 1978 to Halloween Kills and even the Rob Zombie movies in between. Well, we haven't seen Halloween Kills yet, but there's, like, even though that was a completely different Michael Myers than the Rob Zombie ones, there were traits from the original and this movie, Halloween 2, even in that Michael Myers. Like, it was that cool of a character, and it was nailed that well that it always gets used.
I still feel, I'm not even going to bring Rob Zombie into it. But I still feel like it was the same exact Michael Myers.
Oh my God, we've had the
same exact, and that's why I wasn't going to bring it up, because this one kind of validated it for me.
You know,
I'm going to leave Rob Zombie out of it. But he did have those same mannerisms, the whole knife thing and everything.
He said, I'm going to leave Rob Zombie out of it, but he did.
So leave Rob Zombie alone. I'm not going to bring him into this.
All right.
But I did get some validation with this.
All right. But you're right, man. Like, he had some fucking awesome kills in this movie. Like, it was really good. And you know what I like too? They built up. Because the first one, if I'm remembering correctly, the first one was like the hammer to the head. And it was quick, boom, out. But then it built. Like, each kill felt like it got better and better and better and better. And, like, that's how you build stuff, man. You gotta build tension. If he's coming in, like, I hate when fucking movies have a killer or anything like that, and there's an amazing kill right off the bat, and then the rest of them suck. It's like, well, fuck, what? Really? You spent all your CGI budget on that? That's it? Goddamn.
Yeah. But then, too, you hear over the radio, over the news, they're talking it down, you hear he's making his rounds, so you don't even necessarily get to see it. But you know that he's busy and he's doing a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, get the lorry. But that's what these earlier ones I always felt like was more of a Jamie Lee Curtis kind of thing, more of a lorry story.
Yeah.
This one kind of tapped in at the in a more verbal way, because when Dr. Loomis was talking about him and explaining him and describing him, I was like, hell yeah, that's it. That's what I mean. Like, that's Michael Myers. That's why, and I'm not even kidding. You know what? Fuck it. I'm not going to bring up Rob Zombie. I'm not going to do it, man. I'm not even going to do it. Although I really want to.
I can
because
tell.
I'm going to wait. I'm going to do this strictly to piss Rob off. I'm going to wait.
All right.
But I really want to. But I promised myself I'm not going to.
I believe me, I know you really, really, really want to. I'm well aware of that.
I'm going to give this some respect.
Yeah, and you know, it deserves it. Like, it really does, because this movie was fucking awesome. And because this was the smallest Michael Myers.
He was a little more Michael Myers. He was. The mask was bigger than he was.
Yeah, he was a smaller Michael Myers. They even said he had to wear, like, some kind of platform heel shoe or something. Some shit to be bigger, I don't know, but
I think that this one was really, you know, for the earlier ones, probably one of my favorites out of the bunch. It really had such a, just the way the events unfolded, you know, you had the police reacting, you could tell there was a lot of shit going on throughout the town. His presence is devastating, man. He shut the whole fucking town down.
Mm-hmm. It's like a walking COVID-19.
Yeah, man, and they're running around making all these mistakes. Then they kill a teenager or some shit. And the way that was written in for them to discover it was fucking genius. You know, to have those trick-or-treaters come up and be like, hey, our buddy's been missing since fucking whatever time it was that they killed him.
Right.
And then that's how it clicked to them. They're like, oh, shit.
Oh, another thing that really impressed me about this movie, jump scares. Dude, like, these movies did jump scares so damn well. You know, I really do feel that horror film, I mean, I'm sure they have already, but before a director or even a writer, before they start and sit and go through their process of writing these movies, dude, I really truly believe that they need to take notes on this one in its totality, just as storytelling and movie making movies in general, as far as like the jump scares, the tension building, all that stuff, and climaxing at certain points, like movie make horror, especially horror movie makers need to watch this movie and really study it before they get behind cameras and stuff, because there's certain little things that they did in these movies that really went a long way, and we don't see them anymore. Jump scares is one of them. Usually they're shit and stupid.
Yeah.
They were used pretty well in this. Jump scares are important.
They were. Yeah, because I was going to say, the guy that played him, man, I wasn't really into him. But the way that the movie was written and the way that, Mike, you know, you just needed somebody to be Michael Myers.
Right.
And to show up in the outfit and, you know, to kill, obviously. But people will not critique the Myers like they will Voorhees, man. People will critique whoever plays Voorhees more so than they do Michael Myers.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, but Kane Hodder's played Jason so many times, too. So it's like, but you're right. You're right.
Like that whole shit with the Freddy versus Jason, man. They made a big deal about that. And this is for a character that doesn't speak, mind you.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. But, dude, you mentioned at the end when he's like, he's just swinging aimlessly trying to fucking slash something. Dude, like, that was, I don't know, it was a kind of a powerful scene to me. And it might be stupid, but, like, to me, that's what Michael Myers, that machine, it, like, it just nonstop.
He's not going to stop.
Right.
He will not stop. That motherfucker will keep coming at you with everything he's got. And even when he's playing dead,
right,
he can't 100% play like that. Like, he's got to hold his fucking knife and shit. Like, he won't stop.
He can't help himself.
No, he can't. He is an unstoppable beast, man. I think out of all the fucking, you know, slashers and shit like that, he's got to be, I wouldn't say as strong as Jason, man, but he's more relentless.
Oh, yeah.
Out of all of them. He will not fucking stop.
And the intelligence is through the roof. Well, Freddy was, you know, but definitely more than Jay. And probably, possibly more than Freddy, because Freddy was emotional. And Freddy, his power was driven from the, you know, his victims. Michael Myers wasn't. So Freddy had a little bit of fucking here and there where he would kind of not do stuff or try and do that. Michael Myers was a very straightforward some bitch.
One thing with Freddy, too, is like he'll get injured, and if he had to or whatever, he'll retreat.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Michael will not retreat.
Yeah.
There's no, like, she shot him right in the face. He couldn't see, and his first instinct was to just slash in the air, and maybe I'll hit her.
Yeah.
You know, and just, he's relentless, and that's what I mean. Like, Dr. Loomis, in one of the scenes, man, he explains Michael to a T.
Yeah.
And was, the you know, so different about these early ones, or I couldn't even say different, because these are the original. This is where it all comes from. You don't see a lot of them, you know, but you hear it. You, even in the first one, you hear about what's going on around the town.
Right.
And that was what's so awesome about Carpenter, was that he was able to write that and get the point across without having to do, I'm not even going to say it. I don't want to, because like I wanted this to be like its own Halloween thing, but it's very difficult not to, man. It's really hard, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it, mate.
I can tell you're trying hard not to.
I'm not going to do it. It's hard not to. You can't. It's like, it's so weird. It's hard not to. I didn't want to do it because I wanted to have some respect.
You know, and that's,
but I can't fucking help it. But you know what? I can't fucking help it. I got to do it anyway. Yes, I can. I can help it. I am going to help it. I'm not going to fucking do it.
What a roller coaster.
I'm not going to fucking do it, man. Anyway, yeah.
You're really battling this one.
I really am, man. I didn't want to fucking do it. I didn't want. That's why when you said Halloween 2, I even had to ask you, like, we're doing the Rob Zombie one, or are we doing the 80s one? And here we are, still talking about this sucker, Rob Zombie. Here we go. So anyway, Carpenter was able to get the point across with Michael Myers without having to get a lot to him. Kind of like how they did in the first Nightmare. Like, you knew what was going on with Freddy, but the thing is, Freddy... Once they did show him to you, he kind of had to, you know, because he's a dream demon. Like, you're not really fully aware what he's capable of.
Right.
Well, Michael Myers, they more or less were able to get the point across by writing it in, and you can hear a lot more of what's going on. It makes more sense. You know, boots on the ground, individual. We all know what a serial killer is capable of. And then, especially in the sense of the way John Carpenter wrote him, you know, to be this brutal force, man, like, that's exactly what he is. Right. I think in the second one, too, he came out and was relentless, man. The motherfucker would not give up. God, I want to talk about Rob Zombie so bad right now.
You know, dude, like I said, I really feel that that last scene, it was powerful, man. Like, it really was, because that was the epitome of Michael Myers.
That master was not going to fucking give up, dude.
Yeah.
I think all in all, if they got into a fight like Freddy, or not Freddy, but fucking Michael Myers and Jason, Michael Myers might win that one, though.
That's the age-old question.
I don't think he could kill Jason, but I think, like, if it came down to, like, a who's going to walk away from this, I think Michael Myers would.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Dude, I'm thinking about it right now. It's so hard.
I think if it came down to a who's going to walk away from this, I think Michael Myers is going to walk away. I don't think he'll kill Jason.
Because the intelligence is so high with Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Jason is a fucking beast, though. And Michael Myers has always overpowered his victim. And he ain't going to overpower Jason, I don't think.
No, I think Jason is a little bit more stronger than he is. I don't think he has the stamina, man.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. Yeah, I don't think he can keep up with it. Like, it's true.
He has the stamina to go, you know. I don't think he'll kill him, though. I don't think Michael Myers can kill him.
I don't know, man.
I don't know, man. I'm really struggling over here, man. I'm starting to sweat a little bit.
I know.
I want everybody to know that I am doing my damnedest, man.
I know. But, yeah, dude, we're fucking Halloween 2. One day we got to do Halloween. One more thing, though. The titties. They were up there with the part 5 Friday.
Yeah, they were up there with the boy. This movie, they were not afraid to give you some titty meat.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could change one thing about the movie, what would it be? What was your dislikes about it?
Oh, man. I would have made Michael Myers bigger. That's really the only thing I could think of off the top of my head. That's it.
Yeah.
That's really it.
When I seen him, like in that first scene when he came through the windows, it wasn't that bad. But when he was in the room with Dr. Loomis and Laurie,
right,
it was pretty bad.
Yeah, there were a few scenes, because you didn't, you know, they used camera angles, and like I said, he wore whatever kind of shoes that he wore to make him taller, but, you know, especially from the back, you could tell, like, he didn't have the shoulders, the back, the width, he was a small dude, you know, for Michael Myers.
Yeah, really making this difficult, man.
I know.
I really, really was.
No, I'm sorry.
But you know what, it's a shame. And that's why one of the big reasons why I didn't want to bring it up, that people have these discussions and they'll put the Rob Zombie, as much shit as it gets, it's in there. Like, it's got to be talked about, you know? And I didn't want to bring it up because it's hard not to have that conversation. I would find it like a challenge. It deserves respect to be reviewed without that comparison, you know? Like, a lot of...
It does.
These Halloween movies, man, Michael Myers, this is what started all of it, the slashers. You know, like, it was, Michael was the first one, wasn't he?
He was
before
Leatherface.
Friday, no?
Leatherface, you would have to put, he was before him. He was before Myers.
But even if that was the case, like, you see, like, we talked about tiers.
Right.
He, you know, like, he's not in that tier with Michael Myers, Freddy, and Jason, and all that.
Yeah. Oh, no, dude, I agree. But you know what it is? Michael Myers, even though it was only 4 years after the original Texas Chainsaw, he quickly reinvented the slasher. Very quickly.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I would say that he's probably an original still. Nonetheless, like, you know, given the fact that Texas Chainsaw, you know, Leatherface and I was based on true story and shit.
Yeah.
You know, I think that as far as, like, concept, I mean, he's practically Ghostface before Ghostface, and I hate to say it, but I think Wes really took a lot from Michael Myers.
Oh yeah, you can find Michael Myers in a lot of these slashers, and even in some Friday the 13th stuff you can find some Michael Myers things. Like, it, he just did things
very
so well, right? Yeah, especially in the when they started drifting more towards the end, and he turned into that more of a machine like Michael Myers was. You know, it's just it's such a perfect recipe that you can't help. You know, that you really can't help it.
I think that's about all I got without mentioning Rob Zombie, mate. What about you?
No, that's really it. That's really it. Yeah. One thing that's interesting, Dick Warlock, who, as you mentioned, he played Michael Myers. He revealed that he passed by a room to get the role of Michael Myers. He passed by a room where the Michael Myers mask was on the table, and he put the mask on and walked into Rick Rosenthal's office and stood there. And Rick kept asking him who he was, and he didn't reply. And he eventually took the mask off and asked if he could play Michael Myers. I mean, that's a pretty cool story, I think.
Isn't that odd? Like, that's all you had to do to get Michael Myers, you just got to stand there?
Yeah, isn't that? Because he had to have done it creepy.
Yeah, you got to give off a certain vibe. You got to give off, like, this presence, man. Like, he must have had some kind of, like, vibe there, energy that he gave off to get the role. It's interesting how he got it. Because in the movie, I did not get that vibe, dude. Like, I wasn't... It went out the window for me when they had that shot of him just standing there with that big old fucking mask when he was in the room with Lori and the therapist. Like, they should have edited that or changed it a little bit. Like,
mm-hmm.
It just didn't fit. Right. I didn't get that energy. When he first came through that window, through that glass door, though, like, it was there.
Yeah,
it was just a big difference in that shot. I don't know if it was just an angle they had him or whatever, but like you could, and like you said, from the back, there was times where he just was like, "Ah, fuck."
Yeah, he's smart.
Why did you put that in there like that?
Right.
But he had to have some kind of energy to walk in there and throw that mask on and get the gig like that, man.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know, dude. This movie's a masterpiece.
It's good. I think this was one of the best ones, and I agree with you. I put it over the first.
Do you feel that we should do a Rob Zombie movie next week so you can get it all out?
Yes. Please. Yes.
All right. Well,
please.
With that in mind. Yeah,
that would be fun.
That's it for this one, guys. Go check out all our shit at slashrail.com. Episodes, interviews, exclusive news, all kinds of articles and shit. Go follow us on Twitter. @SlasherRadio. Go follow me at Twitter @MikeysDead before I get fucking suspended for another copyright thing. I feel better. Anyway, Mink, where they gonna find you?
At Bobby Spitzer at 2 R's in front of Rob Zombie's house. Bitching and complaining that I had to not talk about him because I had to fucking do some soul searching deep within me to not do it because I have a fucking issue. With him. Not even really an issue, but just like some weird obsession, and I tried to, for the sake of a fucking goddamn podcast, trying my best not to mention him, and I still ended up mentioning him somehow. So now I feel like he's in my mind. I got some kind of control over me.
He said some kind of weird
I need
obsession.
To take my mind back. It's really as bad as Katie Featherston.
Oh, God.
But no, we'll talk about it more. I think that, you know, these Halloweens, man, they're I want to see the new one that came out. I have yet to even seen that.
Yeah, you got to sit down with that one, yeah.
But I will say the next time we do, like, the Rob Zombie or something, like, this just goes to show you, no matter what you say about those Halloween movies that he did, it's hard not to talk about them, ain't it?
Yeah, I mean, especially with you. I mean, it's not even just you. It's such a controversial thing, you know? So it's like, it's gotta be brought up, yeah.
We have to have this discussion. We have to find an episode and do this. But
again?
For the respect of Halloween 2, can't do it on this one, man. It's one of the classics. If you haven't seen this movie, something's fucking wrong with you. But yes, at Bobby Spencer with 2 R's and then at Katie Diane, go say hi to her and make sure she's okay with those earthquakes.
Oh, God. Come back and check us out next week, guys. Make sure you subscribe. And good night from Slasher Radio.
All the best with Slasher Radio podcast.
Yep. Yep. Whoa. What the fuck? My account has been locked on Twitter?
Donald Trump got you.
What did I do?
Donald Trump got you, Mink.
Your account has been locked because Twitter received a complaint. Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
Donald Trump.
Notice for content posted to your Twitter account under the whatever Copyright Act. Copyright owners can notify Twitter claiming that a user has infringed on their copyrighted works.
What did you do?
I have no fucking idea. Upon the receipt of a valid DMCA notice, Twitter will remove identified material. Twitter maintains what you can do to unlock your account. You must review. What the fuck did I do?
Did they remove whatever? Do you see any changes on it? Oh, you can't even get in, can you? Here, I'll look.
I don't know. Do you want to contest the takedown? If you believe the materials reported under... What the fuck? Hold on. Hold on. I don't need... It didn't even tell me what it was. Continue. Your account is now available for use. Please be aware that any additional notices against your account may result in your account being locked and potentially suspended in order to avoid this. What? It never told me what it removed.
It looks like it's normal. You got your little headline, the picture, and all the stuff on there.
I don't see anything gone.
Oh, you can access it?
Yeah, it let me back in, but it gave me that. What the fuck? What account?
I don't know, man. It could be anything. It could be because when you make those little things for the podcast, you think?
Could be, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I don't know. Could be anything.
On Twitter?
You'll never know. They don't really give thorough explanations on things like that. And they just do. Kind of give you a little bit of info, a little bit, and then that's it.
Nothing. What the fuck? Maybe they emailed it to me.
You should get in touch with them and tell them that they're cock-sucking Satanists and that you demand to know what you have done wrong.
What the fuck?
Well, whatever it is, they let you back in, right?
Yeah, but I don't want this to continue to happen.
And they can't let you resolve it either because you don't know, huh?
Yeah, like, I don't understand why they would tell me not to do something and then not tell me what I did. Like,
just gotta get in touch with them and find out. See what they say.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. It might tell me here. Come on, you piece of shit. Load. Okay. Hello, the following material has been removed from your account in response to a DMCA takedown notice copied at the bottom of this tweet, of this email. Tweet, a little late in posting, but it's recording, but it was, what? It was recording session time over the weekend. Slash Radio does it right. What?
Mm-hmm. It was over a tweet that you tweeted?
Yeah. But how am I supposed to even know what this tweet... Like, I don't know what was in the tweet.
What did you say?
I don't know.
Did you add anybody in it?
It lets me go to the tweet, but it says your tweet was withheld in response to a report from the copyright holder.
Who the fuck would hold anything? There he is.
I don't know.
That's weird. You didn't add anybody or tag no one in it?
This is from 2018.
Oh, what the fuck, dude?
What?
So, in other words, somebody had to go all the way throughout, all the way down to 2018, and then find that one and then report it?
Right.
It's a lot of fucking digging.
Right? What the fuck?
What did you even tweet? What did you say?
Who knows? It says, a little late in posting, but it was recording session time over the weekend. Slasher Radio does it right. And I don't know if there was like a picture here or a video. Who the hell? It was fucking 2 years ago. Who can remember what it was?
That's a little scary, man. What if they go through mine and they say all my fucking dick pics and assholes? And
hey, man, they can't copyright. That's your asshole. They can't copyright.
What if they have a summons for it, like indecent exposure and shit like that, man? And the police banging on the door and asking me to pull my asshole out, see if it matches.
The police banging on the door over here. Let me see your ass.
Let me see your asshole. Yep, that's your asshole.
They hold up a picture next to your ass.
Yep, that's his ass.
Yep, yep.
Come on with us, buddy.
Go to jail.
You guys think you're funny, huh?
That'd be some shit.
I got the ass man in custody.
What could this have been?
I don't know, man. That's fucking... That's weird. I would look into that, because that seems a little fishy.
Right. Right, like, what could I have possibly fucking posted?
That seems a little fucking fishy, dude.
Okay, hold on. Does it write video uploaded with tweet? Okay, let me see if I can see the video at least, because I don't know what the fuck it could possibly be.
Motherfucker.
This is the most bizarre thing.
I wouldn't fucking... Definitely look into that, man. That's a little fishy.
Yeah.
Don't talk about it. This one was probably the hardest fucking episode I ever had to fucking do. But I did my best.
I can't believe you didn't bring up Rob's. I was fully prepared.
I am proud of myself, Link. I really am.
I'm proud
I
of
wanted
you.
To so bad, but I did not do it.
Rob is going to be shocked.
I'm not going to do it.